Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, June 10th, 2026.
At this time, wish to welcome everybody this evening. This is the March 10th, 2026 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board. It is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was published in the press and the current and the notice was posted and advertised on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tucko.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Here.
John Van Dyne.
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Langgraf, Joe Iannazelli, Lorraine Suada.
At this time, we have the minutes for the May 13th meeting. We have, first of all, are there any amendments or changes to those said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second, please, for adoption?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Opposed? No, the minutes are hereby adopted. Next, we have resolutions. Let's see. To be adopted also, we have one resolution. That is P16-2026, 120 North Sacramento Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to said resolution? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it, and the resolution is hereby adopted. This evening, we have two applications to be for us. The first we'll hear now is Samuel and Randy Alvarado, is it? Of 6901 Winchester Avenue. Do you want to make any?
I'll get Roger sworn in for the night. Mr. McCarron, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
And Mike, just before you get started,
Well, hold up one second, please. Let the record reflect that we have a new member joining us, or not joining us, but could you state your name that you're joining?
Joe Iannazelli.
Okay, could you mark Joe as present?
I don't have a seat, though.
Okay.
Tim Coop made a good point to me before we started tonight. This is a continuation. Applicant was here about a month ago. I know Tim was not here. Was anyone else not here that evening? 6901 Winchester Avenue to the Alvarado application.
I wasn't.
Just Tim? So I'm going to ask.
You can have your seat here, but you just can't participate.
Okay, that's cool. I can sit down.
Do you have that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wherever you want to sit, Tim. Do we have?
Got pushbacks.
Yeah, we have one member that wasn't here. Do we have the roll from the last meeting?
It was two.
Do we have the date here?
I think everyone else was here. That's my recollection. Everyone.
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah.
You changed.
We asked for the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's get to it.
Mr. Chairman, Mayor, members of the board, good evening. My name is Mike Lario. I'm an attorney at the firm of Nemat Davis and Goldstein. I'm here this evening on behalf of Samuel and Randy Alvarado. This is an application concerning property at 6901 Winchester Avenue, Block 180, Lot 1. As was stated, this is continuation of an application that was before you April 27th of this year. The applicant is seeking bulk variance relief in connection with the demolition of the existing two-family structure located on the subject site and the construction of a new flood-compliant two-family structure on the property. The applicant is seeking four variances in connection with this proposal. The first is for lot size, lot area. They are approximately 9 square feet short. It's a de minimis deviation, but they are short, so they need the lot area relief. They're seeking variance for lot width. They're approximately 12 feet short on the lot width. It is a corner lot, though, which creates the difficulty in meeting that lot width requirement. And they are also seeking variances for the setback to the proposed garage and the curb cut width. As was discussed with the board back in April, there were some comments as to additional first-floor storage that our design professional, Mr. Bechtold, can speak to. There was additionally some comments as to the architecturals. We wanted to table it. We had 3D renderings commissioned, brought to this board, submitted, just to give a clear idea as to the design of this, the colors, and Mr. Bechtold will run through exactly some of the design aspects of this, but have the benefit of this 3D plan in front of you, which we think helps exemplify those design aspects a little more clearly. Ultimately, we believe it's a clear improvement over what's there currently. It's reducing the lot coverage. It's reducing the building coverage. It's removing the setback deviation from Newark Avenue. And obviously, it will be a flood-compliant structure when it's all said and done. So we believe the benefits of this clearly outweigh any negative associated with it. With all that being said, Mr. Bechtold, I'd like to call you first.
Do you have the witness? We have the witnesses sworn.
Yes.
Do you have any more witnesses that need to be sworn?
So I have the owners, Sam and Randy Alvarado, here to answer any questions of the board. I wasn't planning on any direct testimony, but it may make sense to swear them in just in case.
Let's have her sworn anyway, so at this point.
Okay. We can just go down the line. Mr. Bechtold, you can just state your name and business address.
Andrew Bechtold, 59 Shore Road, Somerset, New Jersey, 08244.
Okay, and you're the Alvarados? Just give us your names for the record, please.
Randy Alvarado.
Samuel Alvarado.
Randy and Samuel. And if you can, the three, you can each, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And let the record reflect that Mr. Bechtold's credentials are acceptable. He's a licensed architect and appeared before the board.
He's a planner as well.
And a planner as well. Roger needs to be sworn as well.
I got him. He's
great. Okay. Okay. Please continue.
Thank you. Mr. Bechtold, again, I know we were before the board in April. Let's start with, if you could, the storage space question. That was something the board asked us to take a look at, trying to provide some additional storage space. Can you speak to that?
Yes, on page PB2, and it's also on page PB3 on the plot plan, there were two areas that were open underneath the first floor deck that were just open air. There was no storage there at all. Those areas in that, and three, they're approximately 8 foot 10 inches by approximately 5 foot 5 inches on each side for storage bikes, trash cans, et cetera, each year, et cetera. Those storage areas were added. At the request of the board, getting the architecture, which we did not change because of that addition, it's still looking as it is up underneath the deck. And then on the plot plan on sheet PD3, at the board's request, with the driveways that are nailed upon our original application, it is requested that these driveways wider than 18 feet each. Again, those are going to add on to the plot plan as well.
So let's talk about those architectural plans that you mentioned. I know we had 3D renderings prepared.
Yes.
If you could, and I know a lot of this testimony will be similar to what you provided in April, but I think with the benefit of these 3D renderings, it may make sense to go through again and discuss some of the design features of this home.
First of all, I noticed that the packet came with the renderings. Does everybody have the renderings?
Yeah.
But I need to pass along on hard to see that whole area. So what the 3D renderings show, we hope it shows now, some greater 2D renderings that we had before, was the exactly how the building does move around on this, where there are towers at the corners, but then the building itself, the road is away from the main street. This, it's better to see on this rendering where you can see the deck that protrudes out from the house by 5 feet along this roof, and then the wall goes back, and there's a cutout here, there's a cutout up. So the only piece that's out far is kind of this T-shaped piece here. On the side, again, there's just a piece here that then undulates back in to get the deck here and the deck wraps around the side. So there was some concern that this was just a big brick. We don't believe that this is a brick. We believe that this is an eroded shape that is meeting our client's needs and actually following the ordinance as per the ordinance. We're not asking for any setback variances, we're asking for height variances. The only setback variance we're asking for is to have the garage doors, which we think is an important thing to have to not only keep our cars safe and protected, but also keep them indoors. So we did ask for that setback to the garage base. But other than that, it's a fully compliant building that we think is very attractive. Again, we're using different materials to kind of show the different areas that are coming forward and being recessed. We believe there's lots of movement in the building. This is the other angle of the building, which again, you have in your packet. But again, clearly shows how there's a tower feature here off the corner, and then the corner is a road along the main street. Again, there's a deck on the low level that's out 5 feet further than the rest of the house, and then the rest of the house is back. All the way on the top level, we've eroded that pack as well. So we're showing that kind of basically the two-story mass over parking, and the only thing that's kind of full, which is typical of almost every building in Bethany. You know, you see it, but arguably a three-story wall, garage wall, this wall, the second floor wall, and the roof, and some kind of half story up there. Our half story is again recessed back to try to keep this building smaller as it presents along the long face. The short face, we believe there's lots of movement there because again, you have one tower and then you have these bites out of the side, which again, we're moving the corner. We're not trying to stand proud on the corner, we're kind of stepping back a little bit and giving at least a veil. And again, not asking for any front or setbacks on either street face, I think it's a pretty successful design there. Albeit it's a little not the norm in Denver, but I think that's what kind of makes it special.
So let's talk about betterments. I mentioned that in my opening. There is an existing non-conforming setback off of Newark for the existing home, correct?
Yes, good.
And obviously we'll be compliant, as you said, to that setback off Newark.
Yes.
Lot coverage, 6%. We're decreasing the lot coverage on site.
Yes.
And that's building coverage, and there's a 7% decrease on impervious coverage.
That is correct.
Okay, and obviously the proposed plan will conform to all the landscaping requirements within this zone.
Yes, absolutely. All landscaping will be adding more landscaping.
And the parking will be compliant. It's not currently compliant, but the proposal will allow for compliant parking on site.
Yes.
Okay.
And it will be totally screened. You know, the existing garage is on site. You can park a small car, but today's not parking. So you're going to also have screened parking, which I think is important.
And then obviously it will be raised to meet the base flood elevation requirements.
Yes. Now the river will pause again. Yes, it will meet the flood requirements.
Mr. Chairman, those are all the questions I have for Mr. Bechtold in connection with these revised renderings. With the renderings. I said revised, but really they aren't revised. They're the same renderings, they're the same plans that were originally presented, just with the benefit of a 3D rendering.
And what is your question?
I have no further questions for Mr. Bechtold.
Okay. So do you have any further presentation?
I do not, Mr. Chairman. Unless there's any questions for Mr. Bechtold, myself, or the applicants, we're happy to answer them. Otherwise, that concludes our presentation to the board.
Board members, well, first of all, could you elicit for the board the variance that you're applying for?
Yes. So we're applying for four variances here. It's minimum lot area, minimum lot width, the minimum setback to the garage, and the width of the curb cut.
Okay. Could you enumerate what those variances are? What relief you're seeking, please?
Again, we're seeking a relief for lot area or de minimis
height. How much lot area?
Nine square feet.
Yes.
How many feet do you have in total now that you're trying to get relief from?
Right now we have 3,116. The ordinance requires 3,125.
So you have 2,992 or something like that. Where you're 9 square feet short.
We're 9 square feet short.
Okay. All right, what is your next one?
So the next one is lot width. 50 feet is what is required, 38 feet is what exists there right now.
So 12 feet to the next
one. Now, is this lot a pre-existing lot?
Yes, it is.
All right, how long have you owned the lot?
Over 50 years, it's been our client's family for 50 years.
Have you tried to procure other property?
There's other property there.
Well, there's a property adjacent to it, did you contact the landowners?
Both properties are currently improved with structures right now.
There's no vacant land next to it.
There's no vacant land?
Correct.
Okay, what is the next variance?
So the next variance is setback to the garage, and I think Mr. Bechtold, he spoke briefly to the reason for that, but can you speak to the specific deviation?
Again, that was all the original design, we had a garage door on the garage. Technically speaking, if we didn't have a garage door on the garage, we wouldn't need a variance. But out of that parking space, it was said to be a carport underneath the house. We believe that was better to have the vehicles screened from view, so we believe that made sense to have the garage door on the garage. The setback to the garage door is 10 foot 1 inch, where 18 feet would be required. So again, we're short on that, but again, our cars are inside the garages, and the space inside the garage is compliant with the parking space. It's simply the garage door that's not at 18 feet.
So you are compliant, and you have two parking places per unit?
Yes, sir.
And so, if the garage door is open, what is the distance to the sidewalk? Do you have only like 10 feet to the sidewalk?
We have 10 feet actually to the property line, and the sidewalk's another 3 foot 6 inches from there. So technically, we have 13 foot 6 inches from the face of the garage door to the edge of the sidewalk, like starts in the sidewalk itself.
But the city right away, you have 10 feet.
Yes, sir, we have 10 feet.
Okay, so there's not a room for a parking, so that's why you're doing the garage door.
That's what we're doing, yes.
What is your next variance?
So the final variance is for the width of the curb cut.
And again, the original curb cuts we came in with were basically compliant. However, there's some concern as the turn-in for the vehicles to get into the garages. So it's worth asking the question that we actually make the curb cuts larger. So we made the curb cuts larger and we increased them. We had 2 18-foot curb cuts as opposed to a 12.
Not one larger, but you have 2 18 foot curb cuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that makes
and
sense.
The board did encourage you to do that last time.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any more you have?
Those the rest were just the presentation of the 3D renderings and more
that's a good case. Okay.
So I have a question, Andrew. These windows, they slide open or?
Oh, which window specifically? I'm not sure.
The ones under the shutters.
Oh, the windows under the shutters, they would slide.
Okay. So just to say it another way, the garage access would be compliant if there was no door there, but in your mind,
yes,
and I'm just saying the same thing in our own way, and I would tend to agree that the consistency of the design and the security improves with the garage door.
Again, I think it's a visual benefit for the neighbors, they're not going to backside somebody's parking there or not, so.
Right.
Actually,
okay. The ordinance requires a garage to be fully enclosed.
Right.
So it's kind of a conflict in a way.
So you're conforming for that or variance for this?
Variance for that or variance for this. So I don't want to make a case of it. We can move on. I just wanted to clear it.
Board members, any questions of the applicant?
What type of material are you using on the building?
Mostly hardy material, hardy board.
Okay, never mind. You don't have to go ahead.
In terms of material, you're showing some different colors at the third floor and at the first floor. Those look, in the rendering, appear to be brick, or are those shingles?
The upper level is showing that that's like almost a brick pattern. That may wind up being a shingle pattern at the top. I'm not crazy about putting brick all the way up top on a wood structure,
right,
especially if it's thick and brick. So that probably might be one of being some kind of shape look, but again, trying to differentiate the different levels and the different pieces that come in and out.
I think that's what I'm getting at, is that I think that improves the look quite a bit. You hit a lot of roadblocks aesthetically. I think that's a benefit to have the different masses be in different finishes and colors. So I would encourage that to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's unfortunately something that two-dimensional drawing could not show.
Yeah.
That's why we requested to do this, and I hope this is a benefit to the board.
For the record, are these the colors that you intend to build with?
I think they're
Is the rendering representative of what you're going to build?
I think they're close. I don't think they're spot on.
Yeah, we'll say they're close.
Yeah, substantially similar.
Yes. Good, excellent word.
Yeah, I agree. I would like I would like to see the brick on the top, I think that's what you were...
I mean, as long as, you know, whatever's functionally, I think the color is more primarily, the brick I think is an interesting choice because you don't see that often, but...
I'd rather see the big brick lower to the ground when the building, you know, the building moves a little bit, I don't think there'd be a crack in that substrate behind the brick, and next thing another wood goes into our wall. So maybe we're flip-flopping material down to the lower level where you appreciate it more.
Or a different material on top, maybe, so it'd still be different than the hardy board?
100%, so that would be, it would be like either a shake material, which would be like a cedar shake.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
But again, the gray is something else, and whatever.
Yeah, I also like that you added, this is either what, the first floor or the second, I don't know, I can't count here, but that cable railing, I think that little bit kind of opened it up and added a little more...
Yeah, again, kind of eroding that corner.
Yeah, no, I would like to see that, I think, too, in this final.
And not having this wall where it's a solid wall for the...
I was gonna say, the having a solid wall and the cable railing, I would want those to be kind of conditions.
Yes.
And then the flower boxes with irrigation, I would definitely want to see that, I think.
I'm gonna pile on that and agree, I think that this application leans hard into the window boxes and the Bahama shutters.
Yep.
Without those, you do kind of, it does kind of favor the Minecraft house. When the, but those little touches of the railings, the window boxes, and I kind of agree, I think with irrigation, they're not gonna survive, but the changes in the colors and those, and the shutters, I think, are really important to break up those big slabs that you had.
So, and as you guys mentioned, go ahead and use the material that kind of helps with that. That's a lot of modern, why the shutters on the windows.
Why don't you include with this a directory, if you will, or a list of the colors, which is identified with the rendering, the colors of the building, and then include that with your approval. Something similar, so that, then, you know, that's the approval we give you.
The only thing is, that would be on the front end, I mean, we can agree to as a condition, it'll be substantially similar to what's presented now, but we wouldn't want to finalize it as part of the zoning approval as we kind of go through construction, just because it may change, and I'm not sure how that would impact.
There's things that are being substantially agreed to.
Yes.
And we should have those marked and labeled, because the rendering is being shown, they're being said, they're gonna be included, and so let's mark those on the rendering and have them included in there.
That's fine.
If there's a deviation in the color, we understand some of these things, but at the same time, there's components in the building that have, that are stated to be there. We want a marked up copy of those components saying they will be there.
And I heard the comments that the requirements as a condition, we have no objection to that, those being included, what was just...
The flower boxes and the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No problem.
So, I mean, that's just typical housekeeping, and so we can all keep track, so that would be the case. At this time, I'd like to open it up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Don't all rush forward, please. At this time, there's no one indicating they wish to make comment on this application, therefore it is closed. The public portion is now closed. Now, have you read, Mr. McLaren's, Roger, do you wish to speak on this topic?
I think we had a discussion last week, it was more of the architecturals, and I think the rendering that they produced, I think it shows the board what they really intend on doing. And as Andrew said, you know, the 2D drawings really don't show what this shows you tonight.
Right. So that's why I asked it to be marked up, and so. Now, have you read Mr. McLaren's report?
Yes, and I would say that any items not specifically discussed, we agree to comply with all the comments contained in Mr. McLaren's report.
It's congruent, you're agreed to it?
Correct, yes.
That's fine. Are you complete now?
I believe we were deemed complete at the last application.
Yes.
Is my presentation complete? Yes.
Is your presentation?
It is complete, yes, Mr. Chairman.
We're going to bring this to a vote. Are you prepared for that?
I am.
Okay.
I've got one more question. Andrew, the roof drainage.
Yes.
How are you handling that?
There'll be a slight pitch on it, and what we'd like to do is run the beavers to the back of the building, and we'll run it off to the street, front end, the side street.
Okay, we should add on the site plan?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Leo, could you frame a motion, please, as all motions are framed in the affirmative, with the board to vote on, please?
Sure, it's a C variance application, I'll go over the variances, then we'll go over the conditions, and then we'll need a motion in a second. But the four variances are the lot size, which is 3,116 square feet, or 3,125 square feet is the requirement for two families. Lot width, 50 feet is the requirement, and they have 38 feet. And then there's the setback to the garage doors, I believe 19 feet is the requirement, and they're 10.08 feet. And then the curb cut width, they're going to propose, we allow two nines, and they're going to do two 18-foot wide curb cuts, which was, came out of the, at the last hearing is something that the board wanted to see for, to make the turns. And then as far as conditions, do we need to just say that the renderings marked as an exhibit and...
Yeah, flower boxes will be irrigated.
Flower boxes irrigated, substantially similar to the rendering. I can note the railings.
The rendering will be marked up in where the items included.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, cable railings, right?
Yeah.
Shutters.
Yep.
And then, I'm going to say anything else to Mr. McLaren's report unless otherwise addressed. Applicant will comply with any representations it made during the hearing. And then looking at my notes, I just had a couple that came out last hearing, so you might have to help me, everybody, but I had save street tree on Winchester. If you need to replace it, that's subject to Roger's approval, and you can work with him on that. Does that ring a bell?
I think what we said is we would do everything we could to save it. I mean, once they start clearing the site and demoing, it could be difficult, okay. But we'd like to save it if we could. We just, okay. It's going to depend on what...
Attempt to save it, but understanding that you might not be able to. Then you're going to put the two street trees on Newark?
Correct.
And then the garage, there might be other items in there, but you got to maintain a parking space. And
yes.
You can't just be full of stuff. And then the only other thing I was a little confused on, I had screen enclosures on each side of the building. Did we resolve that with what you did underneath with the...
I believe that was the storage.
I think so, that's what I thought. So those are the conditions. I went over the variances. We'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
Go ahead, a motion and a second, please.
I'll make a motion.
Second. We'll have a roll call vote and state your reasons, please.
Mayor Kribel.
I support the application now. I think the four variances are de minimis in terms of their size when you look at the total scope of the work. I think you got your money's worth out of the renderings. I think they did their job. The setbacks were not really as visible, especially the third floor setback is different from the other setbacks. With all the inclusions that have been mentioned, I think it's it brings and updates the use of that lot. I mean, there are, I hope it would encourage some of the other nearby homes that are also similar in age to do the same kind of renovation or development. So I support with a yes.
Joanne Mazzelli.
I also support the application. The 3D rendering is a tremendous help for all of us. The shutters look great. I think it's going to be a nice addition to that neighborhood. There's something very similar right across the street. And, you know, when you redevelop the corners, it seems to revitalize the neighborhood, so it's good.
Jay Cook?
Well, first of all, I think it's a creative plan, and it goes to further architecture within the city. We have a presentation of many types, and it gives our city, a different, another look to it that people can appreciate. It's art, basically architecture is art. It's done well. So with that, and the variances that are there are basically de minimis. It advances what we have is the master plan itself, and bringing in new structures, replacing old. At the same time, it brings in, it ups our tax base, and it helps the, just the overall view of the city financially, visually, and most of all, I have an appearance at the marketplace, the vendors are a very desirable place to live. So with that, I vote yes, because it's advancing every quadrant of the city that we need to have, and it builds our future, and it's an investment in our future. So I vote yes.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think you guys cleaned it up really nice, and I like the color schemes in lieu of any real yard space. Got decks, which are nice, and it's good to have the cars off the street, but it's attractive at this point, and I hope it comes out looking just like this. So I'm in favor.
Mike Wiesen.
They say a picture's worth a thousand words. This rendering is, because I can't believe it's the same rendering that we looked at with the color and everything. Just made everything pop. Throw a little green on the windows, make it work. I don't have to say anything about anything else. It's a great presentation. I vote in favor.
Peter Taco.
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I think that the presentation is very well done. It's an attractive building. Reference to the variances are de minimis in scope, especially, you know, on these smaller lots in town. So it's a nice project.
Tim Coop.
I'm abstaining.
I'm sorry. Greer Gaskell.
I'm going to vote yes. What they brought in about a month ago, I was skeptical. Honestly, I didn't like what I was saying. But what you brought in tonight is absolutely beautiful. And the coloring and all that. And a month ago, I said it didn't fit the neighborhood. And I didn't say it does fit the neighborhood and it fits across the street. Hopefully, some of the other the houses get sold in one little guy. And I know that area well. And
Wendy Bartlett.
I also vote in favor of the application. As Michael said, the picture is worth a thousand words. I mean, that's really, I wish everybody would bring in a rendering when they were presenting something. Great job on a small lot.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. Architecturally, I don't really care for the style. And about a month ago, I probably would have been a no. But after seeing this rendering, I really like what you did with your finishes, the different materials and the colors. I always have a small spot for window boxes, so keep that in mind. But no, I think you provided, yeah, I think I really like what you did with it. And even closing in that storage space, I think that's a really big benefit. And I don't think you really lost anything for design here as providing that. So I am yes.
At this time, for some reason, you're approved.
Mr. Chairman, Mayor, members of the board, thank you very much for your time and attention.
The Alvarados, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, good luck.
Can I say welcome again? Now that actually we put a face to the name. Great job. Happy construction.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Mr. Callahan, you're up.
Yeah. Now, sometimes we have this space.
This is a CNC, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's get you sworn, or anybody needs to be sworn?
I have Mr. Rubin with me, who's the owner.
Okay. Let's swear him in.
Okay. Mr. Rubin, just give us your first and last name, please.
Adrian, first name, A-E-R-I-A-N, last name, Rubin, R-U-B-I-N.
And Mr. Rubin, you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Callahan, he's the member of the LLC?
He's the sole member of the LLC. The LLC is opened up under 11 South Oakland LLC. Mr. Rubin owned 11 South Oakland, 15 South Oakland. We own the property at 17 South Oakland. His parents, his grandparents and his parents had owned 12 South Marion, which went from grandparents to parents, parents to Adrian, Adrian to his brother to his son, who's now living in the property. Tonight, we're here for 17 South Oakland Avenue for a CNC for a two-unit building. Property record card from 1961 shows two units. Mr. Rubin and his wife bought the property in 1985, secured a land use compliance from the city for a two-unit building. It's been two units since. We also attached the 2026 property record card showing it as two units. We also attached various rental licenses from 1993, 2005, 2012, 2023, 2024, showing it as a two-unit building. We always kept it as 2 years because Mr. Rubin and his wife, up until she passed in 2019, did not use it permanently. So we always wanted to have someone in the ground level living there, make sure and maintaining it and keeping an eye on it. It was in an R7 district in the beginning, which permitted two families, changed over in 1998, and then changed back over to 2018 when it went to RRs, and saying that if you had an existing nonconformity prior to that, it was a permitted use. He did not go in 1997 for the administrative CNC at that point in time. He didn't think he had to because he already had a land use compliance from the city in 1985 when he bought it as a two-unit. That's about all we have.
That's it.
It's R7 now, right? Still, or is it the RR2?
I think Mr. Rubin, Mr. McLaren, I think it's an RR2 present.
R7.
R7?
Yes.
R7.
R7. Which originally permitted it, didn't permit it, and then said if you had a pre-existing, you were permitted.
Those still two families?
Still two families.
Occupied, it's a two family.
Yes.
Top and bottom?
Top and bottom, they have tenants in the bottom, and he operates, he lives in the top.
2 meters?
2 meters, two water sewers, I mean, one water sewer bill, but, yes.
What is the date that it came as a two family?
Well, the 61 property record card showed it as two. We bought it in 85 with a land use from the city of Ventnor showing it as two.
What's the operative date of proof?
I would think it's, depending on how you judge it, it would either be in 1998 or about 2018 when you put it back to the R7s.
It used to be RR1, and that was disbanded in 2007. Reverted back to R7.
So back to that.
So you kind of need...
I think we do.
Board members, questions?
So what are we talking about here? We're going from a two-unit to a two-unit?
Yes.
So what are we here for?
Yeah, what he's asking for, this is what's called a certificate of nonconformity, and it's the zoning board has the power, it's a zoning board power, but we're a combined board that this zone no longer permits duplexes. So what you can do is come to the board and establish that prior to the time that the zone prohibited duplexes, which we think is either in, depending on how you look at it, 1998 or 2007, basically grandfathered. And that helps with a number of things. It gives you some more rights under our zoning ordinance to build a new one potentially in the R7 zone. Buyers like to see it. It's allowed to stay. It wasn't illegally converted. So basically the testimony was, I mean, the owners here that bought the place in 1995, he says it was two units. He's always used it as two units. In addition to the other documents he presented saying basically, when we bought it, it was allowed and it later became non-conforming. We're grandfathered and we've never abandoned that duplex use. So that's the applicant's burden to establish before us.
Okay, that helps.
Questions, anybody?
No. I know the property well, Adrian, I did inspections here, all the two properties, former properties. I actually never knew it was a duplex, it doesn't really present as a duplex, but if it was, you know, I don't see a problem with it.
Is it going to stay in the same?
Everybody has to speak up, because there's trouble, we have trouble here, or there's.
What did you say?
Speak up, or speak into the microphone, please.
All right, Jerry. Is it going to continue looking like that, or is there potential of it being?
We have it under contract for sale. So we were up to a sale point of view when we made the application to the city, because when we did our due diligence, we turned over the land use application from 1985 to the buyer. When the buyer came back to the city to get the new land use, it was told that there was no certificate of nonconformity on file, which brought us back to here.
With the potential of having a new building on there, or continuing?
My guess is exactly what Mr. Cook said. I think most of these buyers are looking to demolish things and build new ones that are flood compliant, parking compliant, and all of those things. So my guess would be.
Yes.
Yes.
We have one question for you. Does the property being on sale change the whole grandfather?
No, I think that's what the buyer probably said, I'm speculating a little bit.
I want to lock it in.
I want some security that this thing's grandfathered, so seller gotta get this CNC from the board before I buy it. But no, that doesn't change anything.
I guess it'll offset, but so it's conditional use.
Yes.
So if this building was torn down, it's in an offset, that would become a conditional use. And if they have the CNC, otherwise it's prohibited.
Well, if it's torn, again, excuse my ignorance, but if it's torn down, doesn't that get rid of the whole grandfather?
We normally, yes, but we have a provision in R7 that if you have a CNC for a duplex or a two-family, you can demolish it and rebuild a new duplex on that property, you know, subject to a certain.
Just like your applicant just before us. He had the CNC up the block from me, knocked it down, came before you and says, okay, I'm now building the new duplex.
Purpose being to not create additional that many additional duplexes around town, but if you have an older one, we'd like to see maybe a new one. And I think that's the purpose behind it.
The purpose originally came about is that most of these buildings were old and people wanted to renovate them. I renovate junk basically. And to stop the renovation of junk, we required the CNC. Also, we couldn't keep track of everything. In 98, we put a city moratorium on all duplexes. And we required a CNC here. Went through, I guess, about 1,000 hearings on these CNCs, and they ran them. We had hearings all the time.
Within the first 12 months of a zoning change, the zoning officer can issue a CNC.
Right.
After 12 months, you're here.
Gotcha.
Right.
Thank you. So that's the history on what actually occurred. But the apartments were basically cropping up out of everywhere. We were finding definitions and stuff. It was a mess. And so we shut it down. And okay. That's how the CNCs became available.
Okay.
That's it. So is there anything further you wish to add?
Nothing.
Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You just have to come up, give us your name, and I have to swear you in.
Slide over.
Yeah, my name is Charlie Marcus. I live at 25 South Nashville.
25 South.
Is this going to be a precedent then now if you approve this tonight?
Hold on. Swear to tell the truth?
I swear to tell the truth.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Is this going to be a precedent now, then every time somebody comes in, they're going to say you allowed it this time, so you have to allow it the next time?
It doesn't establish a precedent. In other words, the paperwork on the building establishes the identity of the building. Not every building has this or can prove it.
So all the backup paperwork here that shows the history of rentals, the multiple meters, all that is on a case-by-case basis. it has to be approved on a case-by-case basis on the merits of every individual unit. A lot of those units were always duplexes. I mean, that's the history of that block. People build apartments underneath those homes, and this is a way of, I think the only precedent that might happen is that it's probably financially a good idea that this happens to some old buildings that are not being taken care of, that are.
Our decision is to.
But that's not our, that's not our place to say.
Our decisions here do not create a precedent. It is on a case-by-case basis.
I think Mr. Callahan presented so much information, it's almost impossible to say deny.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody comes in here with the amount of information that he brought. You know, the next house may have one thing. I don't have any yet, so many. So it is case to case.
Yeah, I can, that's a really good point, Mike. This, yeah. This is a very complete package in comparison to the ones we've seen in the past. There's one gas bill that had someone else's name on it from 10 years ago, and one, and it's a very weak case. This happens to be a strong case, so it's all individual.
Yeah, there's actually a property record that indicates it's a two-family.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, but there's also been a lapse in usage, too, correct?
Pardon me?
It's been a duplex forever?
It's been more than 1985.
And it's been a duplex?
Since then.
Okay. That was my question.
It's been the same owner from 85 right through today.
Okay. Well, I thought you said there was a cap in there.
Well, it may not have rented the first floor out, but it's right. A legal duplex.
Okay. Thank you.
Why is 85 so far back ago? That's my question.
Actually, it may go back further than 85.
Oh, did we? It's a 61 property record.
London Union area.
Oh, 61.
Yeah.
Sir, this probably goes back to 61.
Yeah.
But the date that has improved in the time. So, that's the case.
Now, we want to see. First, why is your grandfather in the record?
He's not grandfathered in.
Because my client had a land use from the city saying it's two units. So he always thought it was bad. He didn't realize that the city changed the zoning, saying that the two units that you could build in R7 back then, you now can't build. So if it didn't have a new place, you could only build a single family home on that block, unless you came before the board and said, I want a use variance.
Yep, no problem.
Okay. Are you complete?
Complete.
Is there anyone in the public else that wants to speak on this application? Hearing no other requests, the public portion is now closed. Are there any comments from the board or the court or questions? Roger, do you have anything to say?
Do not.
At this time, have you read Roger's report?
I didn't do it.
Okay, and you can read Roger's non-report then. Are you finished with your case?
I am, and I agree with everything that Roger said in his report.
Okay. In fact, yes. We're going to bring it to a vote. We have a motion, as all motions are made in the affirmative.
All right, yeah, we'll just need a motion to grant the certificate of nonconformity, need a second, and then a roll call vote. Again, it's the applicant's burden just to establish that this duplex existed and continued. It existed prior to the date that the zoning was changed, maybe 1998, maybe 2007. I don't think that's material to the issue, and it's continued that as a duplex. So we'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
I have a motion, second, roll call vote, please. State.
Motion.
Second.
Okay, I have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Mayor Kriebel.
I support the request for certificate of nonconformity. I think it's clearly established before the ordinance was amended. I think the possibility of a new product being here that has parking and flood compliance is a positive for that area. There's two large apartment buildings on that block and a third very large apartment building on that block. So I think the idea of new renewed development in that area with parking is a positive. So I vote yes.
Okay.
Joe Iannazelli?
I also vote yes, there's really no reason to vote no.
Yeah.
Jay Cook?
I vote yes, the paperwork supports the aspect of the whole thing. And the dates, it matches the dates, and they met the test of the law, so therefore I vote yes.
Dan Smith III?
I'm going to vote the same with the application, it's well documented, and it pre-existed, so open and shut case.
Mike Wiesen?
Mr. Callahan brought so much information, I was a little disappointed that he didn't bring Mr. Smith's and Mr. Swan's sworn testimony that was a duplex back in the day. I vote in favor.
Peter Taco?
I also vote for the application, favor the application. The evidence certainly proves that it was a duplex, and still a duplex.
Tim Coop?
I also vote in favor, the documentation supports the requirements.
Greg Gaskell?
Vote yes, more than enough information and evidence for the place of files.
Wendy Bartlett?
I also vote in favor, obviously the documentation was very extensive.
You are approved.
Thank you very much.
Sir, just so you know, is the city in 1998 passed a regulation that all basically duplexes were banned for new construction, only those that existed. Then we're asking residents to come in and get issued CNCs. I was present with it. We held almost 700 hearings with people and went over the documents and then issued them and went through. It was a long process, but we did it all. And the law is still on the books. That's why it's there. So if there's dates, if they have a CNC, it's legal. If they don't, it's not legal. Or if they qualify for one, they can prove it under certain circumstances. They can get one, but you have to have proof. And that's it.
Thank you.
You just don't walk in and get one just because you're a nice guy. That's been the rule. So, you know, it's been a problem for the city, and the city tackled it and went after it in a big time with a lot of work. So that is the case. Okay. This evening, Mr. Rotella is here. We're going to have the first part of the master plan be introduced this evening. And
stop recording for a moment. I have to set up.
What? I got one.
Yeah.
You need more?
Yeah, we're sure.
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
Jim, before you start, I want to put something on the record in here. And it's addressed to the board and possibly I could be able to have this transcribed if necessary from now. Part of this information in here is in this process is to figure out or to identify what the situation was prior to 2015, I would presume. That's our operative date here. There are many people on this board that were here present at the time. This was a very tumultuous period in the city's life. We had finished Sandy. We are going through all kinds of national situations and going in with the economy. And we were also in the middle of, Atlantic County was in the middle of foreclosures. And Ventnor was deeply affected by foreclosures. This city was in turmoil. I mean turmoil. And I mentioned this, you can talk about the numbers and the quotients, but I'm talking personally from the heart, from the soul. And things that were going on here. The city and the residents in this town suffered immensely. The economy suffered, our budget suffered. And with that, everything was in turmoil, complete. It just never ended. as a board member, and we have some others that were here as board members, we're getting a never-ending issue of statements from Sandy Still with regulations from the state of New Jersey we had to comply to. There was no regulations regarding the control of the foreclosures. The one finally came down. We couldn't even build the banks for this stuff. The city is about $6 million in debt, from what I understand. Our taxes went up almost 27%. It was bad. Now, there's one thing, there's two things that happened that are significant that lead to today. One, in 2015, it was adopted in 2016, this board was combined. And the resident, the members of this board, actually, we had many good ones. We took together the actual, put together a board, which is, I call a super board. And that super board is the result of today. This is the most powerful board, the most effective board the city has ever seen. And I have the privilege of serving with you. So this is the history of this city. This board was created and played a key role in the revival of this city to its present day. And don't you ever forget that. Your key in here and your wisdom, your courage, and everything else has played an outstanding role in what is occurring today. The other thing that happened was three commissioners decided to keep people decided to run for commission. It was a bleak time. People thought they were freaking nuts for trying to run for commissioner. They won, and that was Beth Magliano, this man here, Tim, Commissioner Creeble, and Lance Landgraf. They won. The city hit rock bottom in real estate costs and real estate things around 2020. Meanwhile, Atlantic County was the mecca of foreclosures for the United States. We were in the bucket in here. That's what was going on. And that's it. Life in this community was tough. Life on this board was tough. Life in city government was miserable. And three people took it on along with this board. And at that point in time, they stuck with it. Well, by 2026 now, this city is flourishing. The accomplishments of this that have occurred in this city have never occurred before in the life of this city, in the amount of years that have gone by. You can check it in the history books, you can look it up in the internet, whatever you want to do, it's there. The city had went from not being on the map to a city to be watched and the city to be people wanting to be here. This is something that you live and you sit with. It's something you will capture in the numbers. You live it and you breathe it. And then you go that way. So with the commissioners, with this board, this is the effect that it had on this particular city. And we came from ashes, I mean ashes, to something. And I say this from my heart, and I say this from my soul. I thank you all, and I thank the commissioners. I swear to God, it's the truth, and I raise my hand on my oath, and I say this as the absolute truth. This is what I lived, and I applaud everyone, but it is the honest truth on my oath. Will you acknowledge that, Leo?
Sure.
And that's it.
Well, we're lucky to have you, Jay.
It's
number of years.
It's not me. It's you. It's all right. Everyone here.
Well, I beg to differ with you.
Well, I speak and acknowledge those who count. And that is it. And that's what I say. It's from the heart. It's the feelings. It's the soul. It's the people. It's the heart. And that's what you love. That's what's here. And Mr. Rotella, you're part of the game. Because you're a contributor also.
Thank you.
So with that, I'm going to cease and I'll be quiet. Now, I'd like part of this to be, if it's considered appropriate, to be part of the preamble to the master plan.
You know, you gotta realize that.
Pardon?
I said, Superstorm Sandy was a catalyst in that also.
Yeah, we were, I was.
So much.
Yeah.
And that, from there, it just slowly grew. And the interest grew, and we were blessed.
But the prior 30 years were also very slow in the development of the city. There were much things that didn't get done, or it went backwards in some cases, in there. This is an era that so much has been done in so short a period of time that it's unbelievable. And that, I think, this board should be aware of it. And also, this board has experience and levels that no other board, that most any other board does not have. There is a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience in this board, which gives it the ability to do these things. And that is why I asked for, Roger, I asked for that sheet to be developed as far as the experience and with the cumulative time, just alone between Lorraine and myself, we have 65 years of leadership within the board. And that's all part of the board today. We have Dan, you've been here how long, right? Others have been here forever. Greer is a police officer, and now he's on the board. Mike Wiesen's been here.
That's because I blame that on you.
Right, but that's beside the point. And we have new faces. We have others that have come in to augment. So we have fresh eyes. We have all the makings of a quality decision-making process, which most boards don't have. We have it. And we have a commission and commissioners that are professional and that have the guts to speak up and the ability and the insight and the knowledge to do it. And no time in this city has this ever occurred. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
But we lived it. Dan, you lived it. I lived it. And I'm just putting the human side to it.
Right.
And that's all. Mr. Rotella, you can put the other side to it.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Chairman, Mayor, members of the Planning Board. Jim Rotella, Rotella Associates, who are representing to prepare your master plan re-exam. As we talked at our last meeting, re-exams are required every 10 years, so that's what brings us here today. If you did not move ahead with this, you would lose your zoning powers in the community. The fact that you're moving forward guarantees that those powers remain in place. That is certainly important from a land use standpoint. As the chairman mentioned, there's a lot that has changed. The master plan really looks back over the last 10 years and looks forward over the next 10 years and really provides a blueprint, really building a consensus for what should happen in the city. The planning board really provides recommendations in the master plan. None of these recommendations can be implemented without the governing body. The governing body passes ordinances to change the zoning, to do capital improvements, to fund various projects. So really the planning board is really putting together a blueprint for the governing body and other bodies to follow. So at the onset, I'd like to thank Chairman Cook, Tim Coop, John Van Dyne, Roger McLaren, and Leo Manis. We've had a committee that has worked over the last several months. We've met at least four times to go over details in the plan. You have a draft of the plan. The presentation I'm going to give you this evening is really a high-level summary, where we can get into all the details and talk about any aspects of the plan that you'd like. I'll just go through this presentation, and then we'll open it up to questions and comments. The plan itself, it really covers four areas. It examines major problems and objectives related to land use development since the last plan was adopted in 2016. It discusses the extent to which such problems and objectives have been reduced or increased over the last decade. It reviews the extent to which there's been significant changes, as we just mentioned, between Superstorm Sandy, just that there's a myriad of changes that have happened in the last decade that affects public policy, and reviews those. And then it provides specific recommendations moving forward. First, the demographic changes, which are pretty significant. This is just for the city of Ventnor. Population's dropped 29% since the year 2000. In the last decade, the school age population has dropped 25%. We've met with the school district and we're using their numbers. The number of residents under age of 54 has dropped 31%. The number of residents 55 years and older has increased 14%. So your demographics has switched significantly. Poverty level in the city has dropped 3.6%, which is significant. Population with bachelor's degrees or higher have increased 7.4%. So your resident mix has really changed in a short period of time. A decade is not that significant. And those numbers are from 2013 to 2023. The region, as the chairman mentioned, changed significantly. I mean, our Atlanta County is now the second poorest county in New Jersey. Mayor?
Say that again.
Atlanta County is the second poorest county in New Jersey, economically.
Right.
We've lost 19,000 jobs since 2010. Normally, counties see an increase in jobs. Employment in certain areas, education, healthcare, food and beverage continue to grow. That makes sense. Eds and meds has been a major push throughout the county. There's been a lot of support. Obviously, the growth in Stockton plays a big part in this, and the growth in AtlantiCare and Shore Memorial plays a big part in it. Food and beverage continue to grow in the area, which we've seen here in Ventnor as well as throughout the county. Countywide, the largest industry sectors are accommodations and food services, no surprise, retail trade, healthcare, and education. Accommodation and food services dropped sharply by 24%, primarily as a result of the four casinos closing in 2014. Healthcare and social assistance, professional and technical assistance, administrative and support services, and construction all grow in the county. So overall, the county and the county's makeup has really changed. While the population has increased, the county has become more of a second home haven. We have communities now, mainland communities, that are predominantly second home communities. Summers Point, we represent Summers Point. More than half of the property owners in Summers Point or do not live in Summers Point. We're seeing the same thing in Linwood. We're seeing the same thing in some of the townships. So while one of the big things we saw as a result of COVID is North Jersey, Philadelphia found the Jersey Shore. And we'll see that later when we talk about property values in Ventnor and surrounding communities. And that's a good thing. They found it in the point that, you know, everyone can't afford Margate or Longport or even Ventnor for that matter. So we're starting to see a migration to towns on the mainland. Still close to shore, still you can take advantage of the amenities in towns like Ventnor and other communities, but you're not paying the same price. So the demographics, the county has changed significantly. Now looking at Ventnor's economic profile. Currently there's 1,424 people employed in Ventnor. That's a 7.2% decrease over the last decade. The largest industries in town, not surprisingly, retail trade, accommodations, food services, education, and healthcare. Accommodations and food services have more than doubled in the last 10 years, and partially due to the fact that you have more restaurants as a result of the liquor referendum in the community. Several sectors have declined: construction, healthcare, finance, and real estate. Again, these numbers are 2013 to 2023. We're starting to see more of a recovery, obviously, in the areas of construction and real estate now. So the data indicates a smaller, more concentrated local economy that is shifting towards more seasonal and service-based industries. So lots, as the chairman had mentioned at the onset,